Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying,
Hey, man.
There was a lot going on today. We had a chance to talk with Tyler Allgeier, running back from BYU. He joined us. We'll let you hear what he had to say coming up here in just about 35, 45 minutes from now. Interesting kid, man. And I think, again, he's going to have a role with this Falcon football team. To what degree? I don't know. Mike was like, how many carries do you need to get going? All running backs want more touches, but I think he's going to get his fair share. The other thing we're following today, guys, is no Ronald Acuna in the lineup again. This is the fifth consecutive day that this has happened. And is it precautionary? Yes, because the MRI came back clean. But they are in Milwaukee, Mike, and this series, just like the last one, means a little something. But Acuna not in the lineup tonight.
Yeah, we've been talking a lot about it, and was he rushed back? Is it Carl Duke's fault because he was the one who lit the fire into the organization? I mean, it just is a team which is, I'll use the phrase, scuffling, grinding. We're just, I mean, in the losses to the Padres, one game you left eight guys on, one game you left nine guys on. So there's no clutch right now, some bad at-bats. One night the bullpen let you down, one night there was bad defense. But on top of all of that, not having Acuna on a regular basis really just kills you. So, but I would say this, the season is not, it's not over, guys. The Mets are playing 500 ball now. Yeah, Philly jumped you by a game. I think if anything, Carl, I think most Braves fans learned from last year, it's always darkest before the dawn. So let's hope that Acuna does get back. But if it takes doing a retroactive DL thing, I think that's what you got to do, because I think a groin injury is only going to get better through rest.
Yeah, and I think that's probably what they think. Meanwhile, we're losing. Meanwhile, we're not getting clutch hits. Meanwhile, Acuna's not lighting the fire. We'll see how this continues to go. But as I said to Mike earlier, I would not be surprised if he is on the IL before this week is up. And they just go, you know what, we're going to give you the proper rest you need. But I blame the Braves again. We're going to talk to Grant McCauley about this, because you teased us. You said he was ready, and we're going to bring him up earlier. And then you put these rules in place, and then you broke your own rules. And now you're like, oh, he can't play. It's your fault. Let this schedule play out the way it should have. I know people want to blame me because I wanted it right now. I wanted Acuna up here, and I did. But then when he played, Mike, he looked normal. He looked like the Acuna of old. How could I not know?
Yeah, I mean, he looked great, and you saw him, like, he was running around making plays in Gwinnett. He comes up to the bigs, running around making plays, you know, speeding down to base paths. Even Snicker said, he looks even faster than he was before the knee issue. You know, so that's from the manager. You know, it's from the manager. So I think it's not a federal case. I just think you got to let it play out. And we want this team to get into a groove, and they can't find it with two hands right now.
All right, let's shift gears, talk about the Falcons, because rookie minicamp completes itself, and this was the chance for coach and everybody on this staff to meet the players that we drafted, to kind of get a feel for them, get the install and all the stuff that they need to get for when camp rolls around. Mike, I'm just going to throw out a couple of things that I think we learned from hearing from our guys. Drake London was a full go. The ankle injury is not a concern. He missed the last four games of his college career. Because of that, it wasn't a concern enough for the Falcons not to draft him, which told me the medical said, hey, he's going to be fine. And then he gets the rookie minicamp. He's able to do everything. Desmond Ridder seems like he's a leader. We're not there on the field yet. We're not seeing him operate. But, Mike, everything we've heard, or at least heard from him, and guys around him right now, it sounds like he's coming in and trying to command the room.
Right. And I said this to you to start the program. It is. I don't want to sound like a homer, because, guys, we're talking about a mini camp. Carl just laid it out. There's tons of work to be done. He's going to have to beat out a guy who's got experience as a starter in Mariota. But there's a part of, I think most Falcons, at least the Falcon fans that are happy, are excited, Carl, that we got a new guy and he's checking the boxes. At least all the small information, the little dribbles we're getting from Flowery Branches, all the things you want to hear about your rookie quarterback. You'd love to see this guy win the job. And leadership, that was a buzzword about him out of the draft class, and you're hearing more of that on site in the practices.
All right, I want to hear some more about the defensive guys like Ebukadi, but it's just kind of what it is. You know, everybody's kind of learning and figuring out where they need to be. Arthur Smith, our head coach, says he's not putting a lot of pressure on these guys right now.
It's been good. You know, it's we're going to build these guys up. I really view it more as a rookie orientation. Mm-hmm. I've got to make sure these guys get ready to go. And we'll crank it up a little bit more today and just get them going and build them up in the rest of the spring so we can be rolling by the end of July.
And I know that a lot of Falcon fans, when the news dropped last week, at the end of the week, about Bryan Edwards, not everybody was familiar. SEC fans might remember him from South Carolina. But a lot of guys are looking at our wide receiver corps, Carl, going, well, Arthur Smith certainly has a type, doesn't he? and that would be 6'2 or taller and 200 pounds or more. So we are not going to get pushed around as far as run blocking in the passing game and the wide receivers and physicality and point of attack. Everything you want, it looks a lot like what Tennessee was before some of their roster got adjusted.
You know what's funny? And we'll let you hear Arthur Smith here in a second about Bryan Edwards. That room was empty, like before the draft. Right. Seriously. Like,
and little and skinny of the guys that were in there.
Right. Smaller stature guys. Look at that room right now. Now, I don't know who's going to ball out, but the point is they have gone out and really tried to bring in some dudes that they can compete for jobs at the wide receiver spot. And here's the other thing. You know, injuries happen. You got to have other guys in depth where if somebody does go down, you can throw a guy in there. Here's what Coach said about Bryan Edwards.
So we agreed to the trade for Bryan Edwards. We're excited. The guy that we think fits. So be in that receiver room, compete, and help us. Guy can win outside one-on-one. Guy certainly knows how to play in traffic inside the numbers.
All those things he keeps talking about. Think about what he told us with Drake London in studio, Mike. All these guys, you can beat guys on the outside. Mm. You can play in traffic. You can go get 50-50 balls. He does have a type. Those are the kind of guys he wants.
Right.
He is not going after, think about this, he's not going after speedsters. He's not going after, he ran a 4.3. That's not the kind of guy he's going after. He's going after guys that we're going to move the chains and complete the ball on third and five, and my guys are going to be tough, and we're going to make catches and move the chains.
Yeah, we used to joke around about fast and physical.
Yes.
But this is, strong. Just strong, as Jameis Winston was like, hey, strong. Okay, we got some bigger dudes. In the words that you remember as a kid growing up in Texas, Bum Phillips, big box car runs over a little box car, right?
Yeah.
So that's part of the attitude. And hopefully the offensive line. Now, I just wish we could do some of this in the offensive line as well, or maybe some of the pieces they've added will be able to do some of those things.
All right, it's Dukes and Bell at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Let's talk about Ritter. I want you to hear a few things that he said. Rookie minicamp wrapping up, guys. We talked to Algier. We'll let you hear what he said coming up as well. But, Mike, he said this chip on his shoulder thing. I don't know how you feel about it as a fan. I think it's a very personal thing. It's almost like you feel like you should have got the job. They hired you, and the guy they hired is making more money than you, and you know it, and so you're going to go out and kick his ass. That's the relatability of this on a normal basis. But he feels like, Mike, he is going to have a chip on his shoulder about where he was drafted.
Yes and no. At the end of the day, I was the second quarterback taken off the board. I obviously wanted to be the first one, but kind of saw how this draft went. Saw that, everyone was slipping and, a lot of wide receivers taking whatever it may have been. And I'm just blessed to have this opportunity to be out here, play this game I love. In a beautiful city, a beautiful place, beautiful facility. Yes, I am going to take it and use it as a chip. But no, that's not, something that I think about every single day.
Yeah, man, the things you hear from the players talking about him, the leadership. Zach Martin follows us on Twitter. He says he sounds a lot like Dak Prescott out of college, personality-wise.
Oh, yeah,
and he says
good call.
He says he thinks that's a good thing for sure, and I would agree with that.
Yeah, that's a good call. I had not thought about that. He does. And listen, Dak has found his way. The Cowboys got a steal when drafting him and thinking that he might not be a franchise quarterback, and he's turned into that, and they're paying him as much. So, if that's Desmond Ridder in 4 years, Mike, or 3 years from now, and we're in the playoffs, and our team is that good, because that Cowboys team is loaded personnel-wise, I don't know how good they'll be because the head coach is still a question mark. But the fact is, I hope that we have that kind of personnel in a few years where you go, and we got our franchise quarterback. It could be Dez. He also talked about building up his own confidence.
I would say a little bit of juice before the game, just as far as music, you know, getting hyped up. But, you know, I just know what the moment is, what the stage is. Just know it's a football game. This is something that we love to do. This is something that, you know, we want to do. And obviously, I want to win every single game. And so you can't go into a game, you know, one, thinking that a team is better than you. Two, thinking that, you know, you're not going to be out there, go out there and be the best. So, you know, I try to just get in the mindset that every time I step on the field, I'm going to be the best player on the field. And that's where you kind of got to have a crooked mind sometimes, because, you know, you physically, mentally, whatever, you might not be the best player on the field, but you got to tell yourself that.
See, I mean, that's food for thought for almost anybody out there, right? Any walk of life.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's not going to be easy. He knows that, but just the attitude is there. And to the listener's point, to our texters and tweeters and everybody's hitting us up, that's the thing. That's all we can ask for. I don't know how good he's going to be in these pressure situations. All we can go off of is what he did in college. But if you believe what you saw at Cincinnati in those big games where he was making plays, Mike, he's not afraid of the moment.
And as we said, I mean, I get so sick and tired, and maybe, you know, because you and I, Squidbly, always joke around, you're too close to it with social media. The folks who just can't commit to being a Falcon fan or whatever, just or the snarkiness.
It bugs you?
It just drives me crazy. I just think you should be positive, and I think a lot of people are, because this is new. This is something fresh, and whether it was Matt's fault or it wasn't Matt's fault or the fact the rest of the team was not built well, we've turned the page. And I just think, I don't know if we're going to win six games, but I know I'm excited. I'm more, after everything I'm hearing in this first week, the rookies you and I have interviewed, the free agents that we've spoken to, only time will tell. But I'm excited, and I'm more excited than I thought I was going to be about this season. I can't wait to see these games. I'm excited we have an extra home game. Mm-hmm. I just hope this team can exceed expectations, and really this group of guys will be the bedrock this thing is built on.
It's a great point. Hey, one other thing to mention, Turtle and Bo, let's reach out to Amy Dash, because Deshaun Watson, guys, is expected to meet with the NFL this week. What comes out of this meeting may be Deshaun Watson's suspension.
Right.
We don't know.
It decides, do we see him here in a Cleveland Brown uniform, or we play him at Mercedes-Benz?
Yeah, so we'll reach out. Amy's our legal analyst, and get her take on this, but that's a big deal, because we've kind of been waiting. Mike and I have been talking about this for the last few weeks, but he's expected to meet with the NFL in Texas this week. We're coming back. We were going to defend our guy last hour. The Acuna news hit. We'll defend him and what happened last night.
The Strong Arm Story of the Day is brought to you by John Foyt Associates Personal Injury Law.
Oh, let's talk about some hoops, because first and foremost, I've never seen such a pathetic performance in a Game 7 with a team that won as many games as they did in the Phoenix Suns playing the Dallas Mavericks. Now, the Mavericks are where we were last year with their young star in Luka Doncic. In the Eastern Conference Finals, we were last year against the Bucks. They're in the Western Conference Finals this year against the Warriors. Before we talk about that, Mike, what did you make of what you saw and how it played out last night as the Suns got humiliated off the floor?
Yeah, I was admittedly watching the Rangers and the Penguins in Game 7, which went to OT, when I switched over during a halftime or during the first intermission. I couldn't believe what I saw. For a team with all that stuff, all those pieces, you know, whether it's Chris Paul and Booker and Aiden and DeAndre Ayton, to have 27 points in the first half? I mean, you're like, wait, this is a playoff game, right? This is a Game 7. It's unbelievable. It's hard to get your head around it, quite honestly. And then Luka, of course, was just insane, 27 in the first half alone. But, man, I mean, it's hard to get your head around a team looking that feeble in a game that had so much juice and meant so much.
The legacy of Chris Paul has been in question. I still believe Chris Paul's a first ballot Hall of Famer, however you want to, you know, shape that or phrase it. I do think that their window is closed. I don't think that the West gets any easier next year and that they're going to be able to come back and win 60-some-odd games and be the number one seed. Those things are hard, and to maintain it, you know, the Warriors did that for 4 years and then had the injury concerns. Paul is older. They still have the core, but some people think, Mike, they're going to move on from DeAndre Ayton, or somebody's going to get moved off that team. The point is, was this Chris Paul's fault? Because, Mike, he did not play well in this series.
No. And whether or not you feel it's his fault, and now the stories always seem to leak out, and this is why some people don't like Chris Paul from Chris Paul's camp. Well, he was nursing an injury. Well, I mean, okay, well, if you're on the floor, just like we said with John Collins, if you're on the floor, you're expected to be able to compete and to contribute. And unfortunately for Chris Paul, and he did play 60-some-odd games this year, it's just this is his legacy. He seems to break down. Like last year, for the same thing happened with the Suns. He was missing in action a couple of big games for them. So, and guys just don't like him. Patrick Beverley took to ESPN to whatever grind, axe grind he has with him. He hates his guts, and he went in on him. But, yeah, I mean, he's 37, just turned 37. You wonder, I said to you earlier, Carl, what if he had actually been able to go to the Lakers? And, you know, David Stern had signed off on that deal. But he's a guy that he's a lightning rod. People either love him or they just really hate him. He's like Harden. He's a lot like Harden.
Well, yeah, I think, you know, to me, though, Chris Paul, he's had a more established career than Harden. You know, the argument with Harden is, in these big moments, he doesn't show up. Harden has been a really good regular season player. You know, you've led the league in scoring and all this. But I do think over 17 years, and we said this, at one point there was no debate. Chris Paul was the best point guard in the league. There wasn't even any debate. I don't know if I could ever say that about James Harden, saying he's the best player in the league because he led the league in scoring, even though that's another debate. Here's what Chris Paul had to say after Game 7.
You know, all season long, we try to lean on our defense. Tonight, our defense wasn't there. Our offense wasn't there either. So I think Coach said a lot of, you know what I mean, you play all season to be in this situation and it didn't work out.
No, it did not work out. And so now everybody's trying to find the reason why, and to Mike's point about, you know, his blame and who's at fault. Meanwhile, the Bucks are not going to repeat, Mike. This is why we talk about how hard it is. Celtics dispose of the Bucks. I really think they lost because they don't know Chris Middleton, but, you know, they're not going to make excuses. But here come the Celtics. Now it's Celtics Heat in the East. I'm leaning Heat, Mike.
I you know what? I hate to say it because I can't stand Boston with every fiber of my being, but I would say that Tatum has just been unbelievable. You know what I mean? We've talked about the game, was it the game Friday when he goes for 46, and I mean, everyone knows how good Boston is, but with Al Horford kind of like, I don't know, just whatever he's on, man, I mean, I'll take some of that because Al Horford's kind of rejuvenated his game. But Tatum, a monster game with 46. You know, Giannis got his, and, you know, you feel sad for him because the numbers he put up in this series are just amazing. But I just like this. I'm beginning to think the Celtics got something. Now, how do they defend it? It'll be physical. There'll be great defense on both sides. Spoelstra's already talked about this. It's going to be like a throwback kind of vibe. But I'm going to lean towards Boston on this one, bro.
It's going to be fun. I know that. And if Tatum plays like he's been playing, listen, they're going to be a hard out. It would not surprise me if it's Celtics-Warriors in the finals. It would surprise me if it's the Dallas Mavericks in the finals. I'm not even going to sit here and lie. Now, they're there, but this would be a remarkable story, Mike. And if Luka can carry them to the finals, then you know what? Now you're talking about earning the chip, earning the respect that he deserves to be one of the great players in this league. He just put him on his back last night, and that first half destroyed him.
Yeah, man, you cannot argue about where Luka's game is now. I just don't want you guys who want to make this all about a zero-sum game that Luka is better than Trey. We're not debating the trade because right now Cam Reddish isn't here, so the trade is advantage Mavericks. There's no debate on that. But we're talking about both guys. Last year, when Trey was doing what he did in the Garden, what he did against the Sixers, and what he was doing against the Bucks until, unfortunately, a crazy set of circumstances, he falls hitting the ref's foot. This guy was unbelievable. And there was no – I didn't hear this Luka lovers – I'll call them the Luka lovers, Carl. I didn't hear those guys making a peep last year. Now, Luka's on a run. He's on a heater, and they just dismantled the Suns and give him credit. Now, what Trey accomplished last year didn't happen? That's nonsense. Trey is still leading the league in buckets, leads the league in assists, top five on average, and you guys want to just throw him out with the bathwater. Some of the nonsense I saw today, what is it about Trey Young that people just don't like in this city? It's amazing. I got to defend one of the great young stars in this league in my own city.
Yeah, I am over it. Do you guys not remember him dropping 48 in game one of the Eastern Finals last year? I guess that was a dream. He did what Luka just did. Now, it wasn't a game seven, but the point is he was off to that kind of start, and then the injury happens. And then we get screwed. I mean, we just weren't going to win that series without him being 100%. It happens. We can't complain about it. But did we forget how he literally single-handedly destroyed the process in Philly?
Right.
I mean, was that just a dream? I'm not going to continue to do this when I see with my own eyes, day in and day out, series in and series out, from last season, what he's capable of. This year, we were flawed. So many things played into why we were where we were this year. And I commend management, whether it be Tony Ressler, Steve Koonin, Travis Sling, they all are on the same page. They're all saying, you know what? We messed this up because we thought we're just going to roll these guys back out here and it was going to be the same. They won't make that same mistake. These guys are too smart. So we won't be flawed going into next season. They will make moves and Trey will do Trey things. But I am done telling you how good this guy is. I don't want to put respect on Luka's name, but damn it, put respect on Trey's name too.
Right. Hey, look, and by the way, guys, last year, think about it. You know, Luka was out in the first round. Trey, we get it. It was a terrible showing, and I think that phrase about the regular season being boring just stuck with so many fans. They want to use that as loud. I get it. It was a bad look for Trey, and he's admitted it. But this is a guy who needs some help on this team. Remember, guys, Porzingis wasn't working with the Mavericks, so what do? Before they trade the line, they bring in Dinwiddie, and Spencer Dinwiddie's been a big piece. Look what he did last night. Big piece. They got guys like Bullock. They brought Tony Bullock. That's a worker bee. They've got the guys. They've got the pieces on the Mavs right now we don't have on the Hawks roster. And I get it. Trey looked terrible in that knockout game. No one's going to deny that. But we, as we said, over the history of the NBA, and you brought this up last week, there's been the biggest names have had clunkers, okay? But now guys want to – oh, now Luka's leaped over Trey as if last year didn't happen. That's total crap.
It is. It is. And by the way, speaking of clunkers, how do you think Chris Paul feels today? I mean, he averaged 9 points over the last 5 games. You get sent out that way. What happened last night was legendary. What happened to us in the Heat series, a better team just beat us. What happened last night will be in 2020. It will be record-breaking stuff when you talk about a team being up 30 points at halftime. It's ridiculous.
Now, I just think, as I said, it's sort of become like this, and that's, it's like Fox does it, ESPN does it. It's just this ridiculous argument where it's got to be one guy's the winner, one guy's the loser. Both these guys can have great careers. Now, the trade is advantage maps, as we said, because Reddish isn't here anymore. Our buddy Bo Estes works for NBA TV. He says, guys, Trey led the Hawks further into playoffs than they've been in the entire franchise's history.
Correct.
Top 5 in scoring and assists this year. We mentioned that. He's an all-star. He says the Hawks have their best player and biggest star since Dominique Wilkins. He says nobody lost this trade. And I agree with him. It's 100% right. But guys, for whatever reason, I don't know what. And I always go on Twitter. I go, look, if you don't like Trey, just say it. Don't try to hit me with these ridiculous semantic arguments about what he is or what he isn't. He had a bad series. I get it. He also, you're not playing the Heat if he doesn't go off against Cleveland. Okay, he did that. So it's just it's like selective amnesia, Carl, when guys start to square up Luka with Trey.
Yeah, didn't we have to win 2 games to get into that series,
Bingo.
By the way? I mean, it is what it is. I am excited to see how this plays
out. We're not bagging it. Luka is great. Trey is great. They're both great.
Yeah. I want to see, and you asked me earlier about, you know, the Mavs. If they advance, then that means Luka has played an amazing defensive series. Because this series, he's going to have to play some defense. He can't just shoot it and run back down and not chase anybody around. Warriors have too many scores.
Everybody in the NBA know that.
Yeah, Warriors have too many scores. That was, by the way, Patrick Beverly earlier today talking about Chris Paul.
Hey, but did you see the Warriors look so, I don't know, flat at times against the Grizzlies?
No, they did, man. I think, you know, I don't want to say they played down. I just think, you know, that game 6, they had a clunker too, and they get blown out, and they come back home. Listen, I'm going to take the Warriors in this one, but I hope it's a good series because I don't want it to be a sweep or anything like that, and I don't think that's going to be the case. All right, coming up, guys, Grant McCauley. We will talk to him about Noah Cunha tonight in the lineup. What happened yesterday, and how do we turn the page and win this series tonight, starting tonight against the Brewers? It's Dukes and Bell. We're going to give you a chance right now to win some tickets. If you are, we asked you earlier, Cody Jinks or Clint Black fan, caller 7 right now, you're going to win a pair of tickets to see Cody Jenkins, Clint Black, Saturday, April 13th. Tickets are on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. Caller 7, 404-741-0929. You're going to win tickets.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
World Series champion Atlanta Braves. On Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
It is Dukes and Bell. Let's talk to our man, Grant McCauley, our Braves reporter. And, of course, you listen to him on Sundays around the diamond, 5 to 7, right here on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. Let's start with this series we just came off of. Before we get to tonight and the news of Ronald Acuña not being in the lineup, what happened yesterday? What happened in this series, in your opinion, Grant?
Well, I think defensive miscues were pretty costly for the Braves, and nowhere was that more apparent than on Sunday when they could not overcome it the way that they did on Saturday. But they had a really nice chance behind Kyle Wright to win a game and win a series. And, you know, very uncharacteristic, it felt like. Matt Olson with errors in back-to-back days. Austin Riley with errors in back-to-back days. And not making that double play really opened the door for the Padres to ultimately tie the game, then force it to extras where the Braves had a chance and simply couldn't execute. So I feel like it was a series of missed opportunities for the Braves and some self-inflicted wounds that just did not allow them to beat a Padres team that was, and on this particular weekend, very beatable.
Grant, the one thing I'm harping on is the 18 men left on base in the two losses on Friday and Sunday. And again, it would be like a portion of the lineup just goes ice cold. In this case, it seemed like the middle when there were ducks on the pond.
Yeah, and that's been another problem for him, and there's no way around that. I mean, I just feel like if I had to look at the things that I could really see that, you know, were moments that cost the Braves, then it would be the errors. But if I look at something that's been symptomatic of their struggles all season long, it's certainly runners in scoring position. That's been a huge problem for them. It seems like they'll get three or four guys in one part of the lineup going, and then, like you said, Mike, you've got three or four other guys that you look at the end of the night, and they're 1-for-14 with, you know, seven strikeouts and 9 men left on base. And that's just not going to work, especially when we're talking about, a lot of times, the 2-through-5 hitters in the lineup. So ultimately, I don't really know what you do in terms of, you've got the personnel minus Ronald Acuña Jr., who we'll talk about, and hopefully he'll be back sooner than later, but I really don't know that you have a lot of pieces that are interchangeable. It's just getting guys to start producing closer to expectations and closer to career norms, and it feels like we've been talking about that all season long.
Let's talk about Acuña. What do you know? Is this just about how he is going to feel? Snit will make the final call? Is this medical staff? How are they going to do this?
No, I definitely think it's with through the medical staff first and foremost, and then obviously Brian Snitker would like to have his leadoff hitter in right fielder out there as much as possible, and if he can't have him in right field, he'd love to have him DHing. But I'm guessing, just based on, you know, the fact that he's missed, this will be the fifth consecutive game he hasn't started. It is very unlikely, it would seem, if he's not in the starting lineup, that they're going to use him at all today. So it makes five consecutive games and six straight days in which he hasn't played. So you start doing the math on a countdown to a 10-day IL stint, and you start kind of wondering why that didn't happen. But my guess is that they were just hopeful that a couple of days plus that off day that they had late in the week last week after the Boston series was going to be enough. But this is the kind of tricky injury where if it does linger and if you do overcompensate, and if not that he hurts his knee, what if he ends up, you know, injuring something else? What if he tears that muscle and now he's got a whole different set of injuries to deal with? And that, I think, is what they're being cautious of. But ultimately, they are playing shorthanded if you're into that sort of thing with the DH being in place. But still, other guys could get hurt, and then you're playing shorthanded, and who knows what happens in that kind of scenario. So, you know, ultimately, I think it's being as cautious as you can. But at some point, I feel like you got to make a decision one way or another. Either he's ready to test it out and play, or you need to say, hey, this is the 10 days, and we're just going to take this time, let you get completely healthy, and come back when the stint's over.
It's Grant McCauley, the best baseball man in the business, on the WadeFord.com hotline. Our Braves insider as they head up to Milwaukee. Yeah, the thing, Grant, is there's a point where we'll hit the panic button, but we're not there yet. And obviously last year showed us you could make the right moves, and this team just got into gear. It's well documented. We won the damn World Series. When do you get nervous about where this thing is? The Mets are coming back to earth a little bit.
Yeah, they are. And like I said, I mean, the Mets weren't going to play 650 or 700 baseball all season long. They're going to have their own things they're going to have to deal with. They just lost Taylor Megill to the injured list. They have been playing 500 baseball for about the last 10 or 11 days. And, you know, after a hot start, things over the course of the 162, they have a funny way of evening out. And as you just said, stranger things have happened, even if you're not in the position you want to be in after the start. But I always look at Memorial Day. I mean, that's kind of a baseball person's, you know, checkpoint for where are you at that point in the standings. And then I start to make a real assessment of, have we seen enough of this team to kind of know at least who they are right now and what they need to do to become who they can be? You know, what needs to go right, what needs to be changed, what needs to be tweaked? You start making a shopping list if you're Alex Anthopoulos for what could make my team better come the trade deadline. But again, it all comes down to production and performance. And if the lineup starts producing at even close to the clip that they did in the last 2 to 3 months of the 2021 season, you'll start feeling a lot more confident about the baseball team we're seeing. But this has dragged on for a while. I know we've seen a lot of it across baseball with the offense being down a little bit. Maybe the weather heats up, the ball flies better. I don't know. I'm just kind of throwing stuff at the wall, but some guys have got to perform at the level in which they have performed in the past.
Grant McCauley, our guest. All right, let's talk about our staff. Kyle Wright, 6 1/3. You saw Morton look like he may have turned the corner. Yeah. Let's talk about the positives, because those two things really jumped out at me coming off this series.
Yeah, Kyle looked great on Sunday. And again, it was an error that hastened his departure in the seventh inning and ultimately kind of opened the door for the Padres to steal that game and steal the series. But yeah, Kyle bouncing back from it was really one bad inning against Boston. And really, it kind of came down to one bad pitch for him when he allowed that grand slam. But I didn't feel like that any of that was going to reset the work and the progress and the results that Kyle Wright has shown over his first half a dozen or so starts this year. There was just too much positive there and too much quantifiable results to say, oh, here we go. Now Kyle Wright's going to revert and we got to hit the panic button and you know, fill another rotation spot. So it was great to see him bounce right back. He punched out 9 guys on Sunday and really had the Padres kind of eating out of his hand for the majority of the game. And a couple of unearned runs were ultimately what kind of did him in that start and did the Braves in a little bit later. But yeah, Charlie Morton, I don't know if there was a bigger positive that came out of the Padres series than watching him back up the start that he had against the Brewers the previous time out and just come back out there and take it to another level. I saw more swings and misses for Charlie Morton. He got 8 whiffs on his curveball, and that's a big deal because he had a string of, I believe, 3 or 4 starts in a row where he didn't get 8 total swings and misses in the game. That's the pitch for him. That's the one that sets everything up to be able to put away hitters, and I think he looked so much better in this last couple of outings. It leads me to believe that maybe Charlie Morton has solved the riddle that he was facing over the first month or so.
Yeah, it was kind of a rocky start at times last year, too, so it looked like he's out of the woods. It's Ian Anderson versus Freddie Peralta tonight. Grant McCauley's with us. Grant, any insight as to Austin Riley, the new dad, is he getting enough sleep? Because this always comes up whenever a Braves player has a child, because he's struggling, mm-hmm. he's scuffling of late, but is Riley just going through a thing right now? I mean, what can they do to fix it?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that I'm going to blame that, but I'm also not going to dismiss it because, you know, these guys are human beings. It may be weird to think about them as that, but this is a new dad. This is a young family. This is stuff that, you know, people experience in life, and that doesn't mean that he gets a free pass to be, you know, awful for 6 weeks or 7 weeks after that while he figures out, you know, what the feeding schedule is. However, I think that there are also these 3 to 4 week stretches during a season where hitters just go through it. And for him, I think that a lot of these guys, Austin Riley, Matt Olson, Marcell Ozuna, Adam Duvall in particular, I feel like there's some pressing going on to different levels for these guys at different times, but it feels pretty consistent because they're just not, you know, where they want to be in the moment, or in the case of a couple of them, not where they want to be this season, particularly Adam Duvall, who hasn't gotten going. But no, I think that Riley can figure his way through this. If he can solve the kind of swing and miss issues and the kind of approach issues that he was facing that had people questioning him in 2019 and 2020 and turn into the player that he was in 2021, I think he can make his way through this slump. You're just kind of hoping that he'll do it sooner than later so you can have one less question you have to answer in the Braves lineup.
Are we going to see Strider get a chance to start in this series, do you think?
I think that the indicator was if he didn't throw over the weekend against San Diego that you were going to see him get some, I would say, bulk innings. I don't know if he'll be the guy that, you know, walks out of the bullpen to start the game or is on the mound game two of the series against the Brewers, but I can't imagine they don't want to see another strong four-inning stint like he threw in his last big opportunity to throw. He has to be part of the plan at this point. You've tried a lot of different candidates. You've tried many different candidates over the last couple of years to fill that fifth spot in the rotation. The Bryce Elder thing didn't work. They just tried Cal Mueller once. That Tucker Davidson hasn't even gotten a start yet. Tuki Toussaint hasn't been a factor. And I think that, you know, if you're doing the last man standing game, it's got to be Strider, right?
Yeah, it's kind of how I feel. I mean, we know Anderson, Fried have been announced, but we're talking about the Tuesday game as to what will happen in this Brewers series. Now, Grant, this is one of the teams we beat. We've only had two series wins. Mm-hmm, right. Does that give you any confidence going into this series?
Yeah, it has to, I think, because the Brewers were a big test for the Braves, because if they came home and started out that homestand falling flat on their face against another good team, you were going to start to feel a little bit, I think, more, I don't know if panic is the word, but it's certainly discouraging that you just can't seem to win series. So winning them against a good team, That was kind of a two-for-one, I felt like, for the struggles that the Braves have been dealing with up to that point. But that you're going to have some tough pitching matchups in this one. We're going to get that rematch of Fried and Burns in the finale. And, you know, Adrian Hauser, he's a good pitcher. You're going to see him in the second contest. Milwaukee's foundation for what makes them a good team, I feel like, starts and ends with their pitching staff. They have a great rotation, and they have perhaps the best closer in baseball right now in Josh Hader. So you're going to deal with a tough pitching staff. So beat that team in a series, that means something to this club, but it also just kind of gives them maybe a roadmap or a blueprint for, hey, what kind of things do we need to repeat this time around against this club as we go up to Milwaukee and play in hostile territory this time around.
Right. And the other thing, Grant, we've been dealing with today, which, look, you don't have to, but people bringing up the whole Freddie thing and, you know, the dynamic of leadership. And I said to Carl earlier, he can't do the hitting. He can't bat for, like, you know, seven guys who are struggling right now. But it's funny you bring up Heater. Heater was the guy that he hit the heater off of to knock out the Brewers last year.
Yeah, no, he did. And that was I felt like maybe the biggest home run in Freddie Freeman's Braves career. You could argue for a few other ones, I know. But there's a different dynamic to this club, and it's going to take them a while. And I know that fans don't want to keep hearing every week or two that this team struggles, or every time Matt Olson goes in a funk, or every time the Dodgers roll into town, or the Braves play the Dodgers, or whatever it is. I mean, comparison is the thief of joy. And this comparison is going to go on for a long time. It's going to make a lot of people, I think, feel some kind of way about it. But if the Braves start winning, that cures a lot of ills, and that's what they've got to start doing. I don't know if it's a leadership deficit with this club as much as I feel like there may be some just overriding pressure that some of the guys are feeling for their individual performance, but also knowing, hey, we were the best team in baseball last year. We got the trophy to prove it. We got rings that are just next level. We know we've been the best, and why is it not going the way that we want it to go right now? That's the difficult part about baseball. It's a physical grind. It's also a mental grind, and I think some of that is really what might be hindering this club at this moment. But, you know, I can't speak for the personality of a team other than to say I feel like it comes together over time, and we really saw the Braves come together in a very special way a year ago. But the expectation should not be, hey, we play bad for a few months, or we just don't play that well for a few months. And then we turn it on and we win the World Series. That was great, but that can't be the plan every year.
Grant, great job as always, man. We'll see how we fare. It is another big one because, again, we just don't have that momentum. If we go and win another series against the Brewers, maybe I'll feel better. Let's get Acuna back in there, hopefully sooner than later. Grant McCauley, thank you so much.
Yes, sir. Thanks, guys.
All right, guys. That's where we are. I'm still frustrated. Guys are blaming me for the Acuna thing because Bo says it's my fault. Rushed him back. I wanted him back. They put him in the lineup, and now it's my issue.
Well, I mean, you weren't in the outfield tugging on his groin.
That's true. I wasn't. I mean, it's so true, Mike. But coming up, we're going to let you hear Tyler Allgeier. This young man stopped by earlier in the show. One of our newest running backs. We drafted him, guys, in the fifth round out of BYU. He's just a fun guy.
He's hella cool, Carl.
That's a great way to put it. It's Dukes and Bell.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.